of Israel, it's amazing because this is really the first time that Jesus is described as one that who is going forth to be a light to the Gentiles in verse number 6. And his purpose, of course, at verse 7, is to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. Now, by the way, who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. The reason we know that is because Jesus was the culmination of this passage. He was the fulfillment of the prophecy in this passage in Matthew chapter 12. Now, don't lose me tonight. Don't lose me because we're heading somewhere. Jesus was the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 42 when he spoke those words that we read in Matthew's gospel chapter number 12. And he said the same thing. He said the same thing that Isaiah said, is that he would come and that he would be a bruised reed that he will not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Now, these were identification marks. The children of Israel were to know who he was so that when he came, he could be identified. And when he's identified, that is what they could put their trust in for their soul to be saved. So really, Isaiah is simply telling the children of Israel, he's saying there's a Messiah coming, his name is Jesus, and how are you going to know who he is? How are you going to know that he is God? Well, you're going to know it because he is the one where the bruised reed doesn't break, and he is the one where the smoking flax shall not be quenched. He's the one. That's the identification mark. That's how you know that Jesus is really God. You know, I got to thinking about a lot of people in the world today who do not believe that Jesus is God. A lot of people believe in the Bible, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. I don't know how you can confuse the two, but some do. There are some that take the Bible and they believe portions of it, but they don't believe all of it. Can I tell you, either it's all true or none of it's true, because if parts of it are true and some of it is not true, then the whole book is a lie, because the Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So you cannot say that part of the Bible is true and part of the Bible is not true. That does not work. That does not compute. That's not possible, because either it is all true or all of it's not true. So if Jesus really is the Messiah, then he is going to be the one whom a bruised reed will not break. And he will be the one that a smoking flax shall not quench. Now, what's probably going through your mind right now is what was going through my mind when I studied the passage. And that is, what does he mean by a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench? Can I tell you, take your Bible and go over to Matthew chapter number 12, and I want to connect some dots for you on what he's talking about. Are you still with me? Some sermons, you just got to stick with me. It'll get there. We'll take time. Amen. But once we get there, I think you'll see what we're saying. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse 14. Now, Jesus here is disputing with the Pharisees. The first 13 verses, the Pharisees are disputing with Jesus. They cannot trap him. You could never trap Jesus because he's God and he knows everything. But they tried. They tried relentlessly, asking him loaded questions that seemed to test his validity as God. But he passed every test. He could not be contained. He could not be owned by the Pharisees, despite their knowledge of the law. And again, he was asked questions. And even after this passage of Scripture, the Pharisees come to him and dispute many different things. Foolish questions, like verse 26. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against kingdom, how then shall his kingdom stand? Boy, what a question that they brought out. What a ridiculous question that was brought out. But I want to say that the point of the passage of the scripture is that the Pharisees, hear me, the Pharisees are going to know that Jesus was God because of a bruised reed and a smoking flax. That's what Isaiah said. He said, when you see the one to whom a bruised reed is not broken, and the one to whom a smoking flax is not quenched, then you will know that he is your Messiah. So here's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 12. The Pharisees trying to trap him and trying to destroy him, according to verse 14. The Bible tells us in verse 15, Jesus withdraws himself from that crowd. He pulls himself away from those disciples. He pulls himself away from all those. And he goes to some people whom Isaiah said, he leaves them, he goes to a multitude of people. He leaves the Pharisees and he goes out, as Isaiah said, and it says he won't strive. He's not going to strive with the Pharisees. He's not going to cry, verse 19. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. But can I tell you, notice he says, again, those identifying marks in verse 20. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Now let me show you what he's talking about. Verse 22. Then was possessed unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And what did Jesus do? He healed him. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But notice when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, can I ask a question to you tonight? Stick with me. Stay with me. Don't lose me. I preach very long if you lose me. Amen? So here's my question. In this verse, here, if he cast out devils, why did these Pharisees not know that he would be identified as one who would not break a bruised reed and one who would not quench a smoking flax? Surely they knew Isaiah's prophecy. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people in this world, they know the Bible, it just does not penetrate their heart. Can I tell you how to, if the Bible's going to penetrate your heart, it's going to be because you opened your heart to the Bible. It's going to be because you allowed the truths to sink in. Those truths will not sink in on the surface level. They have to be opened up with the heart that God gave you and me. They cannot be heard. They cannot be understood outside of the heart. And that's the problem with the Pharisees. The problem was the heart. Their heart was hardened. Their heart was stuck in law, rules, all the to-dos and don'ts, but they did not know Christ. And he is the one that they said would come, and he's going to be the one that will not break a bruised reed, and he will not quench a smoking flax. Now, can I explain to you what that's talking about, since you're dying to know? Bruised reed. A reed was one that very soft, but yet plentiful kind of reed. The nation of Israel, anywhere there was a river, was covered with reeds. The reeds were very tender. They were very easy to be bent. And all you had to do to a reed was to touch it, and oftentimes it was bent. And right at the bend, it would bruise. And that reed right there, if it was simply touched, it would break off. And that particular reed would die. It would be lost forever. And Jesus is identified as the one who would not come along and take the bruised reed and knock it off. Jesus is the one who came along, who said, I'm going to take that bruised reed and I'm going to heal that bruised reed. He said equally about a smoking flax. The flax was used in Bible days as the wick, if you were, the wick of a candle. They would take a reed and put it in the midst of a candle, or put it and soak it in oil on an oil lamp, and they would light that flax and it would smoke. But when it ran out of oil, it would dry up. And it said, he's not going to quench that smoking reed, the smoking flax. So Jesus said, you'll know Jesus by the one who does not take the bruised reed and break it off. And he will not quench the smoking flax. Can I tell you, that's just exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He found a blind man. He got away from the Pharisees. He found a blind man. He found somebody who could not see. And do you know what he did? The compassion of Jesus came along and saw that bruised reed. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to take that bruised reed and break it off. I'm going to heal that reed. I'm going to take care of him. And he touched that blind man and healed his blinded eyes. That's what Jesus was. And the identification of Jesus to the hardened heart was to realize that he is the one who would not break. He would not break the broken reed. Oh, can I tell you what? God comes to the people who have burdens and problems and troubles in their life. It's the blind. It's the one who's brokenhearted. It's the one who has great troubles in their life. Jesus comes along and he says, I see the broken reed in your life. I see that broken part of your life. I see that one that's departed, that loved one that's departed. I see that divorce. I see that physical trouble. I see that burden, and I'm the one who's not going to break you. I'm the one who's going to help you and heal you. And that's how the children of Israel were to know that Jesus was really God and the true Messiah. Now, I want to say to you tonight that Jesus' compassion makes a difference. And we know that it made a difference because in verse 21, he said, there will be judgment and victory in him. And then verse 21, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. You see, God said, when I show God who I am through the compassion that I show, that is exactly how the Gentiles are going to know that I'm God. That's how you know there is God. When God takes your life and there's broken things in it, and he heals it and mends it, there's only one that's there. That's God. That's God. I want to say to you today that to be like Jesus means to have the same compassion that he did. It's when you find a life out there that's broken and somebody whose family is ruined and somebody whose life is an absolute disaster, somebody whose life is an absolute mess, hear me tonight, the compassion of God wants to be seen through us to that person. That's how one way that God says, I can show myself to this world. I'm saying to you tonight that compassion does make a difference in our lives. We must never forget it. That's what God is all about. He's not going to break the broken reed. He's not going to quench the smoking flax. He's going to come to that which is broken, and he's going to help it and heal it and fix it. The Pharisees did nothing but judge, and they did nothing but destroy other men. But Jesus came with a different purpose. He came to demonstrate his kindness and his goodness, and he came to show the grace of an almighty God to a people whose lives were broken and ruined. He said, I'm not going to break the reed that's bruised. I'm not going to break it off. Oh, that's the Jesus that we serve. Can I tell you, sometimes in your life, you will be in a broken place. Sometimes in your life, you will feel like nobody cares. That is exactly the time that Christ comes into your life, and Christ comes at the moment of your trouble and some a crisis or a problem, and Christ comes right into that person's life, and he manifests himself in that life, and that life is changed and healed. I'm saying to you, that is the God we serve. Compassion. A compassionate God. A man fell in a ditch. Somebody made this story. It said a man fell in a ditch. The realist said, yep, that's a ditch. The optimist said, well, things will get better than that ditch. The pessimist said, you can't get any worse than that ditch. The Christian scientist said, you only think you're in a ditch. The newspaper reporter said, I'll pay you for an exclusive story about life in the ditch. A city official said, did you get a permit for your ditch life? The mathematician says, I'll calculate the length and depth and width of the ditch. A preacher said, I see three things about the ditch that are noteworthy. The IRS agent said, have you paid your tax for that ditch? But Jesus said, give me your hand, I'll pull you out of the ditch. And that's the difference. That is what the children of Israel needed to know. Isn't it amazing the very fact that when we fail God and we falter time and time again, that he doesn't just break us off. He doesn't just allow us to be dried up. He doesn't take the smoking flax and let it be quenched. He pours in the oil. He pours it in so that we can continue to light the pathway. He doesn't break it off. I'm saying to you tonight, that's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God who will come to you. He will find you wherever you are hurting, that nobody may ever know, that nobody may ever understand. And he'll see your broken need. He'll see your broken life. And he'll come to you and he'll say, I'm not going to break you off. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to take care of you. Oh, listen, that's the God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. He comes along and says, I'll be the one to pull you out of the ditch. At the end of a fruitful life of caring, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he was buried with high honor. Royalty attended his funeral. But next to the queen sat a shabbily dressed woman who placed a flower on Booth's casket as it passed by. How did you know the man? Asked the queen. And the woman's answer was simply, he cared for the likes of us. He cared for the likes of us. I'm saying to you, he doesn't break off the bruised reed. He doesn't break off that bruised reed. There are times when you feel broken. There are times when you feel empty. There are times when even as a best Christian, you think God has forsaken you. Hear me. He'll never break you off. He'll never let you run dry. He will never quench a smoking flax. He will be there every time you need him. God is always there. He will never let you go. President William McKinley, he was once planning to appoint an ambassador to a foreign country. There were two candidates whose qualifications were equal. And McKinley searched his mind for some yardstick by which he might measure the true greatness of the men in question. He later confided that the self-centeredness of one of the and the magnanimous kindness of the other were the deciding factors in the scale of his judgment. Many years before, when he was still just a representative in Congress, McKinley said that he had boarded a streetcar at the rush hour and he managed to get the last vacant seat. An old washerwoman entered shortly after carrying a heavy basket. She walked the length of the car and stood in the aisle, hardly able to keep her balance. As the vehicle swayed from side to side in its race down the tracks, no one offered her a seat, and one of the men the president was later to consider was sitting opposite where he was standing. McKinley noticed that he had shifted his newspaper in a way to avoid seeing the old washerwoman. McKinley noticed that he shifted his newspaper in such a way. McKinley walked down the aisle and he took her basket of washing and offered her his seat in the back of the car. The candidate never knew that this little act of selfishness had deprived him of perhaps the crowning honor of his life. For the president later recalled his unkindness and decided to point the other man as his ambassador. I say to you, that's exactly what Jesus does. When he was broken for us, when he gave of himself, he gave his last full ounce of love for you and me. He died, he was beaten, he was whipped. And all the shame and humility that he went through was so that he could be this light to you and I. This kindness, this great kindness, not just in a simple act of life, but for our eternal soul. He demonstrated this kindness, and this kindness was put into us. And it's Christ in us that should go to this whole world and let this whole world know he's not going to break you. He's going to remake you. Amen. He's not going to hurt you. He's going to help you. He's not going to destroy you or discourage you. He's going to pick you up and pull you out of that ditch. He's going to find whatever's broken in your life. And he's not going to come to you and beat you up about it. He's going to come to you. He's not going to break you apart. He's going to demonstrate that he was the Son of God that Isaiah said he was. Amen. He's going to be that God in your life. You say, preacher, I've had some broken things in my life. Can I tell you what? You can even see God all the better when you have brokenness in your life. Because when he comes to you as God, the Pharisees won't come to you. They'll come to you to break you apart. They'll come to tell you everything you're doing and shake. They're going to come and break the reed off. But may I tell you what? The Lord Jesus Christ said, no, it's not me. I'm going to come. I'm going to heal that broken reed. Hey, I want to tell you something, Christian. In your life, you're going to have broken times. You're going to have broken places. You're going to have days when you can't see the sun. You're going to have days when only the clouds and the rain are there. Hear me. Even the best of Christians, hear me. He won't break a bruised reed. He's not going to break you. He's not going to ruin you. You say, I can't handle anymore. He won't give you more than you can handle. He's not going to break you. He's not going to take you, and he's not going to tear you apart. Amen. Somebody else in this service might get broken a little bit, but amen. But, yeah. Amen. I don't know about that, but amen. But Jesus will never do that to you. Amen. 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 I'm simply saying tonight, don't forget who Jesus is when you're broken. Don't forget who Jesus is when you can't see your way. Don't forget who he is when the clouds of rain are nothing. They come every day in your life. Oh, listen, Christians, and by the way, don't ask for those times. They'll come. They'll come. Don't worry about it. But he wanted us to know that he's the one who won't break you off. He won't break you off. He's the one who's going to come to you and say, you're dry. You're dry. I'll pour oil in you. I'm not going to let that smoking flax be quenched. I'm not going to let that fire die out in your soul. I'm God. I'm Jesus. I'm here to help you. I'm here to pick you up. I'm here to lift you up. I'm not going to hurt you. You know, it's amazing how many people think that Jesus is out to hurt them. Really? And they think that Jesus is this taskmaster, inhibitor of life. Let me tell you something. No, he's there to take what's broken in your life. A man goes into sin, living at his will, and he faces the retribution of sin, just like the prodigal son did. He ran away, lived in riotous living, lived it up, but one day it was all gone. And humility began to take over in his life. He began to think of all the times he had been ensnared and broken the heart of his father by his actions. He began to think of all the times that he wished he could go back and change. He goes to a pig farmer and he takes the pig food. He says, I'm so hungry, I'd rather just fill my stomach with the food that the hogs are eating. I'm so hungry. But somehow God takes that broken reed. It takes that broken reed and that life that's just drifted from God, and they finally realize this is no way to go. And then once they realize that, the devil steps in and says, I'm going to keep you down while you're already down. I'm going to defeat you more. See, the problem with the devil is when you're defeated and when you're broken, he sits on your shoulder and wants to leave you broken. And he does that to so many Christians. So many people, leaves them just feeling lower than a snake's belt buckle in a wagon rut. I mean, down, defeated. That's what Satan wants to do. Makes you feel guilty for how you lived, or guilty for those actions that you've done. And the guilt brings you to a place of humility. And humility begins to overtake your life. And you're well aware, you're not as confident as when you went into the far country as you are when you come back from the far country. You left in this excited spirit, but you leave and go home in a dragging, defeated spirit. And you leave and you wander, you drift. You don't know. Thoughts take over your life. Does anyone care? Does anybody love? Does anybody interested in me? Guilt of sin and the pathway you've gone takes over. And you go to your father and finally muster up enough courage to go to that father and say, Father, I'm not your son anymore. I want you to hire me as one of your, I want you to know that you can just make me a servant. I'd be glad to work all day and serve you for my bread. Father, that's all I need. I just need. It's amazing what drifting into sin causes one to realize, how depleted, how discouraged, how broken a person can be. And they wander into that sin, but they come back to that Father in humility, hoping that there's still some amount of graciousness left in the heart of the Father, hoping that there is no judgment, no command, no hard strike coming down, no I told you so coming from the Father. And yet he goes back to the Father sheepishly wondering, what's he going to say? Would he just let me be a servant? I'm so hungry, that's all I want to do. That's all I want is to just be a servant. I'll grovel if I have to my Father. I'll do whatever I have to do, but I'd rather be a servant in my Father's house. To his amazement, he comes back and he sees his father in the field. And he says, okay, here we go. And he walks up to his father and he wants the first word. Father, I've sinned. I'm no longer your son. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Father, would you please make me one of your hired servants? Would you please just allow me to work for you and just give me a daily bread? That's all I ask as I serve you. But he notices something different about the Father. Father isn't interested in making him just another servant. He remembers that he was his son. He remembers that when he left, how confident he was. And yet, maybe the very thing that he was praying for was the very thing that he had to get away in that far country to see God change. By the way, don't give up on somebody who goes off into that far country. Don't give up on them. And by the way, don't be surprised at what they're learning and how God can deal with them and break them down and cause them to run out, to cause them to be depleted, to cause them to be defeated. Don't be surprised that God can do a work like that through that far country, because the same boy that left his father's house was not the same one that came back. And when he came back to that father's house, he humbly said, just make me a servant. That's all I need to be. But the father had a different reaction. The father saw a bruised reed. He saw a flax that was getting ready to quench and getting ready to die out. And he said, bring the fatted calf. We're going to cook the fatted calf. My son was gone, and he's alive again. Put a robe on his finger, and I can see the conscience of the young man saying, Father, I don't deserve this. I've drifted. I don't deserve a robe. Don't put a robe on me. Take this robe. I don't need it. Hey, bring him shoes. We need some shoes. Father, I'm okay barefoot. I don't need shoes. His conscience plucking him, his conscience burdening him and knocking him time and time again and hitting him and hitting him at all these things. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy of this. Don't do this for me. And his conscience is constantly hitting him and hitting him. But I want to tell you something. He had a daddy who realized something. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to break a broken reed. I'm not going to quench a smoking flax. All it would take is the father to look down at him and say, remember what I told you when you left? You made your bed. Now you live in it. Huh. And what would have happened from there is that broken reed would have been broken off. That smoking flax would have died out. But thank God for a heavenly father. Thank God for his father said, bring the ring. Put the ring on his finger. No, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Can I tell you, that's the spirit that the father was looking for in the beginning. But he had to go through the far country before it could ever occur. He had to wander and go from place to place, and he had to go left and right until he became a broken reed and just lived in discouragement, his conscience bothering him every day, the Holy Spirit reminding him of truth every day. And he lived that way for a while. And finally, thank God, he came to the place. But when he came to that place, here's the point. The point is that he found somebody who would not break him off, but that he would take him and that he would heal him, that he would take his wounds and pour oil in those wounds. He's not going to take that smoking flax and put it out. All it took was a little pinch of the fingers to put it out. But he didn't put the pinch of the fingers. Jesus came to pour in that oil. Oh, I'm simply saying to you in life, we serve one amazing God. Amen. Who knows and sees when your life is broken, when you seem to be quenched. He comes to you and says, I know those things. I see those things in your life. But I didn't come to break you off. I came to put you back in the place that I wanted you to be. You see, some people only realize that by being broken in life. And some people only realize that by getting to the place where they're so dried out that they have nowhere to turn. but to Christ. And Christ is right there ready, like that father. He's right there ready, and he's not going to pinch out that smoking flax, and he's not going to break off that reed, because he's Jesus, the God of all. And I want to tell you something tonight. Every life has some broken reeds in it. Every life has these times in it when we're just a smoking reed. The oil is gone. There's nothing to burn left in our life. And dear friend, when you get there, I want you to know something. Your conscience may attack you. The Holy Spirit may warn you. The Word of God may come and penetrate your mind. But I want you to remember something. Jesus will never break you off. He will never break you off. He will never put out what little is left in your life. He'll pour some oil back in that life and keep that wick burning. He'll take that reed and say, you know what? You're broken in life. But since you're broken, I'm not going to knock you off. Do you realize there's some times in life when you and I need to know that? There are times in life when we need to be reminded of who he is in our life. You know what? I'll tell you what, as a preacher, it makes me a little more compassionate. It makes me just a little bit more tenderhearted to that one who may have drifted and gone away. I don't want to look at them with judging eyes. I want to look at them with the eyes that Jesus looks at them and says, you know what? Your life is broken. There's no more oil left. The oil's gone. But I can heal you. I can pour some oil back in. May I say, wonderful is the day when in the place when you're dried and the day when you're broken that you realize there's a God who will not break you off. He is there and he's ready to quench you. The blind man found that out one day. The blind man found out Jesus wasn't interested in the Pharisees. He's more interested in taking somebody that's broken and got a trouble or a problem in their life, saying, you know what, I can help that. I can heal that. And there is a God like that. And maybe you're on top of the mountain today, but hear me, the day may come when you're in the valley. And you may be in the valley today. I don't know every heart. God does. You may find a valley deep in your life tonight. But I want you to remember something. When you're in that valley, you feel all kinds of negativity and satanic attack. But you listen to me. He's not going to break you off. And he's not going to put your fire out. He's going to come to you and pour in that oil and keep you standing if you put your trust in him. He will. Oh, what a great God we serve. I don't know of a greater truth than this in the Bible, of the picture than Jesus. And though we deserve his judgment, though we deserve the effect of our conscience, though we deserve that, yet he doesn't break us off. Hallelujah. Thank God for who he is. Now, I want to say lastly, I'm done with the message tonight. But I want to say, if there's some brokenness in your life, would you remember this? That God's not wanting to just make you a servant. He's wanting to restore you as a son. He wants to put a ring on your finger and a shoes on your feet. He wants to put a coat, a robe back on you. And he doesn't want to just make you a hired servant. He wants to restore you as his son and his child. Oh, would you keep that in your heart and your mind? Because someday that old devil's going to sit on your shoulder like you've never had him before. And he'll be there. Don't listen to him. Remember who Jesus is. He won't break you. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed tonight. Just a simple truth about Jesus. and who he is. But there's so many times in your life when you need to remember it. I wonder tonight, maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian, you say, Pastor.